And we're back. Episode three, Thomas. How are we doing
Episode
today?
three. I'm doing just dandy. Not our typical recording day, but you know what? That's just how that's how the schedule panned out. So
I got a
excited to
busy
get back
schedule
at
this
it.
week, so we hopped on and just gonna bust this out really fast. Busy
Thoughts.
weekend, NFL wise, obviously draft. We were both there. Kind of two different experiences, which we'll get into in a second. And then we're also going to get into to our teams, Lions, Steelers, and then we're going to go from there with a couple other things off the top of the head. But yeah, Thomas, why don't you start with your experience at the draft, and then I'll go from there because I got into the draft. Thomas, you, on the other hand.
It's a great story. So Tyler and I were planning on meeting up at the draft. Did not happen, as it turns out. I don't know what time you showed up there, but I went with two of my friends, and we got there probably around 6 or 6:30, which is still an hour and a half before the draft would have started. We park. We don't, parking wasn't too bad, to be honest. I thought it was going to be a lot more crowded than it was, but parking wasn't too bad. But we park, start walking down towards the draft. There's three entrances into this thing, right? We are at entrance three. We did
That's where
all
I entered.
stuff
That's where I entered as well.
beforehand. We did the registering, we got the QR codes, all that kind of stuff. We don't even get in line, and this the PA announcement is entrance three is closed unless you have a ticket to the staging area. So we're like, crap, okay, we had to find a different entrance. Well, the NFL or whoever planned this made it very difficult to find the other entrances. There's fences everywhere. We're walking around trying to just follow the fence lines, trying to follow signs. It's a maze. All right. We get lost. We get spun around. We're just following the crowd that's also trying to get in. At one point, we get to a point where these gentlemen found a weak point in the fence where it was only connected by a bungee cord. Right. And so we watch them as they run in and get into the draft through this hole that they've made in the fence. This hole is still there and present. It hasn't closed up. I stare at it. Then
Right.
I turn and look at this guy. And it turns out that this guy, upon later thinking, was MMG. I did not realize that until
Shut up.
afterwards, because I saw him taking a picture with someone that was like, oh my God, you're MMG. Saw him, made eye contact with him. He looks at me and is just like, I wouldn't do it, bro, and then walks away. Did not register in my brain that this was MMG.
No way. That is insane.
But I look at him and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna reveal what I did or what my friends did. But just suffice to say, more people were still going in, whether or not I was one of those people, I will remain
Anonymous
anonymous
about.
about that. Yeah, I'm not going to share that. I'm not going to share potential crimes that were committed.
Fair enough.
But this crowd that were going in through this hole that was made were turned away by a very angry worker who was just like a concession worker, but basically like walked straight at this crowd until they turned around and left.
Wow.
So there was no getting into the draft that way. We continue on our journey across the perimeter fence. I believe that entrance one and two do not exist. All right. We saw signs saying it's this direction. We never found entrance one or two.
Right.
We got to a point where we just heard someone, I think, I don't remember, it wasn't a worker, but it might have been one of the police officers that was there that's just saying the draft is at capacity. Every entrance is closed now. So that was the point where we gave up on getting in.
Ah, it sucks.
Yeah. My friend then decides there's a parking garage right here.
Right.
So we go into the parking garage, take the elevator all the way to the top floor. you can't really see the draft from there. And then
Right.
also, the only way we could even see in that general direction was through a very tiny window in the stairwell that we had to crouch down to see out of. So
God.
that was a wash. We weren't doing that. We left, went back,
Right.
keep wandering around until we see another parking structure that's overlooking the stage. We can already see people on the top just looking at the draft from there. So we make for that. We get in and we see this man in a jacket. He's got one of those, like, le not leather, but like one of those nylon jackets that you see a lot of security guards wearing, or like private.
Right.
It's probably security for the parking garage because it was a private parking garage,
Like
not.
a windbreaker jacket, right?
Yeah. So it was a private parking garage. Like, people weren't supposed to be there. So we're like, crap, this guy is about to go kick all those people off up on the roof off because he's waiting for the elevator to go up. So we're behind him, and my friend just like, no one say a word, just go for the stairs. So we turn into the stairwell, start walking up. And in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, we just walk up the stairs, right? We want this guy to make it all the way to the top, tell everyone to leave, and then he'll leave, go back down, and we'll be at the top all alone. He won't have known that we were up there. No, my friends are stupid. They decide to sprint up the stairs. So they're sprinting up the stairs. Pointless as it is, because that guy was not security either. He didn't, no one was kicked off.
Of course he wasn't security.
The whole adventure was pointless to going up the stairs. We made ourselves tired and
Right,
exhausted.
you could have went up the elevator in the with him in the first place.
So we made it up before the Bears were put on the clock by the time we got to the parking structure. By the
Okay.
time we got up and were able to see out over the stage, the pick was in. My one friend is a Bears fan, so he got really excited for Caleb Williams and then Roma Dunze. It was a great time on top of the parking structure. We stayed there for about 10 picks. Then we decided we wanted to go sit down, have a drink, whatever. So we left,
Fair
stop at the
enough.
CVS, walk outside of the CVS. A very drunk man is outside of the CVS and he just starts throwing up. And then he starts running while throwing up. And so my one friend runs across the street because he wants to escape. That's a brief aside because that was an interesting moment.
Wow.
But yeah, then we found our way to a bar.
Quite the
But
experience.
we're convinced that that might have entirely been a fever dream, because while we were still trying to find one of the entrances, we saw this place. It was called, oh, what's it called? It's the Something Time Pub.
Okay.
It has really poor signage. It's like, it's just a flat building. There's no like big sign out front that says it's just like a plaque on the door or something that says time. Let me see if I can find the name.
What an experience, though.
Anyways, but the point was, we were convinced that we might have gone into this time pub without realizing we went in, and
Right.
the entirety of reality just didn't exist anymore, and that was just all one big hallucination.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was the draft. I'm sure you probably had a better time in there, maybe, possibly, but we had a little adventure while.
Yeah, that's the good part. At least it was adventurous, and you got to run around and do all kinds of different things and all that. I got to Detroit. So I was in Sterling Heights at my buddy's house, and we left at like 2:15 to get to downtown, and then we got there. We got to Greektown at around 2:45, 3 o'clock, and we were like, we had a plan on going to the casino before, so we went to the casino. We all lost a bunch of money, unfortunately. But that's a whole different thing. It was super cool seeing everyone, and then it was like, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like maybe 5-ish is when we left the casino and we're like, all right, let's head to the draft. And Greektown is like literally 0.2 miles away from entrance 3. So we just like did a quick little walk with like a crowd of people. And then the QR code, by the way, which we had to sign up for and everything, was not scanned. They just were letting people walk right in.
Oh,
So I don't even know what the point of that was, but I didn't
just to
have to
sell
pull
our
out a gun or
information,
anything.
probably.
So yeah, maybe it's for like a numbers, like an idea of who, like how many people are going to be there, I feel like.
Yeah.
But got in there, and then we were just walking around. They had all the shows set up. They had, I don't know if it was college, I think it was College Game Day was set up for a minute. And then there's just like millions of people there. There's vendors everywhere. There's this show, there's that show. And it was a lot of fun. And then my friend had to go to the bathroom. So we're like, all right, yeah, go to the bathroom. We'll find you and like we'll find you, whatever. Well, he goes to the bathroom. He's taking forever. We're fed up of standing there watching the whatever show it was on at the time. So we're like, all right, let's head and try and like get a spot. We're still trying to get a hold of him, trying to get a hold of him. Finally get a hold of him. He finds us in the crowd. And the night just got so interesting from there because then I had to go to the bathroom. So we're like, at the end of the night, we get to as close as you can get. But like, this is still the beginning part of the draft, like way before it even started, like right around after the Big Sean performance. So it's like the draft's about to start. And I'm like, all right, I gotta go to the bathroom. So work my way all the way through the crowd, hundreds of thousands of people, work through it, go to the bathroom. Then I have to go and find my friends. And I was like, all right, you stay here. I will come find you. Don't know how I did it. I found them. And then, funny enough, my friend had decided he was going to wait. And then 5 minutes after I had left, he's like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom too. So we're like, all right, great. Now we have to see if he finds us. He ends up finding us. So then it's like, we sit there at a pretty good spot until I would say pick like eight. And then after Penix, I was like, holy sh, like what's going on? And I was like, I have to go to the bathroom again. 'Cause mind you, I've been drinking all day and they had like the tall boys that you could buy. So I bought two of them. And I was just like, you know, kind of going through them. And so my bladder is just like, I have to go. And we had worked our way up pretty far into the crowd, right? And so I'm like, all right, I gotta go, dude. And my other buddy's like, yeah, me too. So we're like, all right, work our way all the way through the crowd, all the way back. Like so many people, Thomas. Like it's like you're at like a mosh pit in like a general admission concert. Like there's that many people, except it's like extended for like, I don't even know how far, but there's a lot
You
of
should
people.
have
There's a
done what the
lot of pop.
people at New Year's do, when like the New Year's thing in New York, where they all just wear diapers instead of actually
No,
wearing bathroom. That's what you should have done.
no. Well, I also didn't think it would be like that. I don't know why I didn't think it would be like that, but the thought never like crossed my mind. So anyways, we go to the bathroom and everything, and now I'm just trying to get back to where we were in time for the Lions to pick, which I didn't realize I would have plenty of time to spare, but it's like you're working through the crowd of people. You're like, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find my friend. Like, he's way up there. And then, like, most people are like, okay, yeah, whatever, that's fine. Like, they'll let you go through. And some people were like, no, you're not getting past me. Like, trying to be like hardos and stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to go like all the way around you then. And so I would just go like down the line and ask other people to walk past them. And I ended up getting all the way to the front where my friend was. And then where he was, we got like, we're like, I wish I could explain it spatially, but it's so hard to explain like how they had it set up. Basically, there was a gate that you could get to where it was shut off from like, you know how they have like the super close fans? Like you have to have a special pass to get
You
in
have
there.
to buy the tickets to get in there.
Right. Yeah. So they have those guys, and then there's like a space in between that for all the cameras and everything. And then there's like the general admission gate where they like cut you off from everything. And by the time we got there, we were close to that, so we're like, all right, we're just gonna work our way through. So we just kept working our way through all the way to the front, and then Detroit trades up, drafts Terrion Arnold. The crowd erupts, goes insane. My buddy gets on TV. Actually, I have the clip. I have the clip of him on TV. He was right next to the guy who went viral for doing like the cheesehead
Laughing
person.
at
He
the
was like,
Chiefs guy.
yeah, he was like mocking him. Yeah, we were right next to that guy the whole time.
Wow.
And we had left right before he actually got on TV doing that again and went viral. So kind of sad about that because I wish I could have been in the clip. But yeah, no, it was fun. It was a great experience, seeing everyone. And then like there's so many different fans too. Like not everyone is there to be is a Lions fan, obviously. So it's like all the different reactions for like the Chargers fans who are upset they took a lineman, and then the Falcons fans who are like, what the hell is going on? Why did we just draft Michael Penix? And then so on and so forth. It was a really good time. And like the best part too was just like everyone for the most part that I ran into like was in good spirits about stuff. Like every Vikings, Bears, and Packers fan I saw, I was just like, boo, boo, like just doing like silly stuff like that. And like they were all like either like accepted it or like they laughed about it or you know, whatever it was. So, but it was just, it was good vibes all around. I had a really good time. So, but yeah, so like more of a traditional experience at the draft and then a little bit more of a outlandish experience at the draft on the
You
two
had the
sides of it.
experience that you were supposed to have.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. And then you had like the impromptu run around Detroit, try and find a spot to
Yeah.
see some picks.
In hindsight, we probably shouldn't have stopped for BOGO wings.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. We hadn't eaten anything and it
Fair
was
enough.
BOGO Thursday.
Fair enough.
We had to.
We ate pizza before we came, so we had some solid full bellies. We're just chilling. But yeah, man, it was a good time. I had a really good time. I'm sad we couldn't catch up to get the picture, but like, dude, even when you're inside of it, there is literally just bodies everywhere. It's so hard to meet and find people. It's almost just like luck of the draw. It's like, all right, like I
Yeah.
know what this person is wearing. I'm just looking like the I found my buddy because he had a specific Detroit hat on. And if he didn't have that hat, I don't think I would have ever found him ever. So, but
Yeah,
yeah.
and even just walking outside of the draft, me and my friends got separated so many times just because
Right.
of how many people there were,
Yeah.
which I mean, they broke the record for mo like the attendance at the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So not very surprising that that happened all the time. And I
Right.
don't even know if those numbers include the people that didn't get in and were just outside watching.
Well, they have the like they had like on the graphic 275,000 plus just because they don't even know because capacity was 275, I think, or
Yeah.
whatever it was. And
But
then like obviously
then there's
they
even
didn't
all
know what
those
they were
people
supposed
that
to
were, you know, with me on the parking structure or ever just
Right.
outside and all those kind of things too. So, yeah,
Crazy.
crazy
And people at
numbers.
bars and everything like that. I don't know. It made me happy. I like to see like I go on Twitter, I see all the praise for Detroit and it's a good feeling because I feel like Detroit gets thrown through the mud a lot and it doesn't deserve to. And especially because it's like on the rise and it has been for the past couple of years. Every time I go to Detroit, I have a good time. So, and it's like they had it set up perfectly in Detroit, like Campus Martius is a great spot. There's a casino right there. There's food and everything. There's, you know, hotels and whatnot. So it was a good time. It was a good setup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd do it again if I was going to have the exact same outcome as what happened, but I still had a good time.
Right. Well, then, and the thing is too, is if you did want to do it again, you have like some sort of expectation of
When I
what
have
to
to
do,
show up.
when to get there. Yeah, like just to get in. But yeah, I mean, trust me, I didn't enjoy the $15 beers that I was buying, but it's all a part of the experience, I guess.
Yeah, he kind of had to go in expecting that.
Yeah. But yeah, good time. But we did go to the draft. There's a lot of news about the draft, obviously. I'd say both our teams came out pretty well at the end of the day with how our drafts looked.
Happy with mine.
The Lions kind of had some reaches, at least that's what the media will say somewhat. I am happy with them. The Steelers, I think, had some really good picks, especially for what they need. Why don't you give us a little breakdown on your feelings towards the Steelers and their draft?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they could have really done any better besides maybe getting a wide receiver, but at the same time, they really just addressed the offensive line so heavily, getting Troy Fatanu in the first round. I don't know if he's going to be a left tackle or a right tackle, but you now have a very solid tackle duo with Broderick Jones, who was really good when he ended up starting last year. And then Zach Frazier at center. They didn't have a real center on their roster for a minute there. So now they're going to be starting two rookies on the offensive line, which
Right.
could be interesting.
Usually isn't ideal, but it's good for them to get their snaps in. They're going to get a lot of experience from that, and then they're only going to grow from that. So,
And they were both drafted one round one and two, so
right.
a lot less concern as if, you know, they might have started a fifth round offensive lineman or something. And then, you know, Roman Wilson, just, you know, obviously the Spartan in me is kind of like another Wolverine. But at the same time, He is a good receiver. He's a good slot receiver. That's what they really have needed, is they need to get another guy in the slot. Allen Robinson last year was serviceable, but they, got a high, he had a high cap, and they had to cut him. And Roman Wilson will be fine. He'll be a good receiver. I know, like, he just.
One quick note on that. My roommate is also a Steelers fan, and he's like, dude, I'm so upset. He's like, that's the one person that I hate the most on the on Michigan, and he's also a Spartan. So he's like, that's the one receiver I hate most on Michigan. And of course the Steelers draft him now. And like I had to be a fan of him. And I was just like laughing. I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny.
It obviously, like, Spartan being a Spartan aside, like, I know Roman Wilson's a good receiver.
No,
He's
yeah, he is.
really
He's
good.
a good receiver. Yeah.
And then, I mean, beyond that, Mason McCormick, I think they're addressing the fact that James Daniels is on the last year of his deal. He's not going to be a starter year one, which is good because they don't need to be starting three rookie offensive linemen.
Right.
Peyton Wilson, I think, could start, especially since they don't really know if Cole Holcomb's going to be coming back healthy or not. He had that brutal knee injury against the Jaguars, I believe, last year.
I heard that he doesn't have an ACL.
Peyton Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
But he is fast.
I
As
know. My roommate also told me he had a faster on-field speed than Tyreek Hill did last season or something like that.
something crazy, yeah. I mean, if he's been playing well without an ACL,
That's insane, by the way. How does he run that fast with no
that
ACL?
good for him. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
At least he's an athlete. At least he's an athlete that plays linebacker. I feel like you can do something with that, obviously.
I mean, the other guys like Logan Lee, don't really know anything about him, to be honest. The corner that
Right.
they drafted in sixth round, I mean, maybe he'll make the roster, maybe he'll get cut, or once you get into that later round, it's just kind of like, we'll see. Logan Lee, probably just a special teams guy, to be honest. They did sign undrafted free agent Jacoby Windman, Spartan dog.
Yep, I saw that as well. Let's go.
So excited for him to be on the practice squad. He's not.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunate.
I mean, overall, I think that, the moves they made is gonna put them in the right direction, especially if Russell Wilson or Justin Fields step up and are top
At least
20
serviceable.
quarterbacks, right? Like,
Right.
they just gotta be starting quarterbacks. They've put themselves in a good position. Corner is still a question mark, but they've rounded out this roster pretty well. Wide receiver, they can still use another one. Right now, their three starters would be George Pickens, Roman Wilson, and then some combination of Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin. Which, George Pickens and Roman Wilson, the theory of that is fine, but you're really not happy with that, with your third receiver being one of them.
Yeah, there's not much depth there.
But I think that obviously the big challenge is in they're in the AFC North, which is one of the toughest divisions in football now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've year after year after year, the Mike Tomlin led teams just find ways to win those games.
They play hard-nosed defensive ball, man, and they score. I don't know. It's very weird, but it's the defense, like, is hard carries usually.
So if
And by
Wilson,
defense, I mean TJ Watt.
of course, if Wilson or Fields can step up and just be a good, honestly, if they just do what Mason Rudolph did at the end of last year, this team is going 9-8. Not
Mason Rudolph was kind of balling last year.
that that's some great record to go 9-8. That's just what the Steelers are stuck in right now. But if
Yeah.
they can get even just Mason Rudolph levels of play from them, that's their record. If they can get more than that, then, like, they'll be a solid playoff team.
I was kind of balling at the end of the year last
Yeah,
year.
you were the Mason Rudolph lookalike.
That's so funny. It's so funny because, like, obviously the Spartan Sports podcast, you and Zach were making that comparison, but I've heard it from like so many other people now, like especially when he was a start, like became a starter and everything. Everyone's like, "Oh, he kind of looks like you." And I'm like, "I guess. I mean, I'm sure I'll take it. I guess. I don't know. He's kind of a bum, but he was kind of balling out last year at the end of the year,
Yeah.
though."
Yeah, for the true fans who've been watching since those days,
Yeah.
was that when he was that the same year that he got hit in the head when we
It
first
was because we
I
did a
guess.
pod that night or like the
Yeah.
day after or something. I remember because we had the logo was him getting hit by Myles Garrett.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's kind of funny. But yeah, man, I don't know. I think the Steelers had a solid draft. I think you guys needed to address O-line. I feel like that was obvious, and you guys did that in your first two rounds, which is like I think pretty critical. And you know, like you guys can do whatever at corner and wide receiver, and maybe you can find some gems that are, you know, undrafted free agents or whoever's left in the free agent market even.
I mean, they've been opening up some cap space. They just restructured Alex Highsmith's contract, so they're opening up space to bring more guys in. But Lions, man, they continue to beat to the tune of their own drum. Or yeah, is that how?
Yes, to the tune of their own drum. Yes, they're very just do it how they like to do it. They're not going to care if you say they did it wrong because that's how they roll. They like their specific guys. They have a obviously a specific type. Really happy with the secondary picks. It's kind of funny because last pod, I don't remember who was two picks before the Lions or picked before the Lions, but I was like, man, I really want this. I really want Kool-Aid, so I'm gonna just have him. Them draft Terrion Arnold. I hadn't watched anything on Terrion Arnold. I hadn't heard of him. I didn't know any tape on him. And it's funny that they ended up drafting him and trading up for him. So, but I did do some research. I like his height and I like his intangibles. His combine wasn't the best, but his on the field tape is a lot better than his combine numbers, I would say, which is obviously the most important thing. And then, oh man, I forgot the other corner's name.
Ennis Racistrom.
Yes. I also like him a lot too. I think these guys have the possibility of being two very solid starting cornerbacks. I also like that we went secondary twice and we kind of did some work in the offseason at secondary too. Obviously with Carlton Davis, trading for Carlton Davis, signing Amik Robertson. Who else? Oh, and then Emmanuel Mosley's coming back from injury. So I like that they're not like for sure fire starters right off the rip. Like they're gonna have to work in this system. Like everyone is earning a spot on this roster. Cause I mean, every corner on this team is essentially new. So it's like no one has a guaranteed slot. Like obviously these guys are proven NFL players, but like the rookies are obviously gonna have to bust their butt if they wanna even be considered at, you know, starting or even getting plenty of snaps. So really excited about that. You know, as for the other guys, the Giovanni Manu, the offensive lineman out of British Columbia, I know is a weird pick, I feel like, but he is a freak. He's a freak. 6'8", 350, and he runs a 5 second 40-yard dash. That's insane. I don't know. Like, I just think obviously the Lions have a very good offensive line. So if we can get someone that obviously is a big project, like he doesn't have any. I mean, he has tape because he played in British Columbia, but like he's going to need work. He's going to need to take a lot of steps to get to the NFL level. But, you know, behind guys like Penei and everyone else on our offensive line, it's just like a good system to be drafted into. And he's a athletic freak. So it's like he has all the intangibles he can have. It's just like teaching him the NFL way, learning every, like just fitting in, I guess, obviously. Yeah, I don't know. Excited about that. The Vaki pick, kind of weird. Safety slash running back. I don't know. Little Travis Hunter
They wrote him
action.
off as a running back, but it'll be interesting to see what he actually ends up playing.
Yeah, apparently they draft him as a running back. I don't know. I'm hearing he's probably going to be special teams, obviously. Like he's a good special teams fit just because he can do obviously a bunch of different things. And then like it's up to him to prove he belongs elsewhere other than the special teams, obviously. Overall, sum it up, I think we have some really high upside guys. Obviously everyone needs a little bit of work, as everyone's a little bit of a project or even a big project, but it's just like if we can get a good like mentoring but like competitive environment, I feel like that's perfect fuel to the fire to like get this draft class like in be almost like last year's draft class, because obviously we know last year's draft class was phenomenal. So we'll see. The Lions like their guys. I'm going to trust Brad Holmes. I mean, I have been upset about drafts and completely wrong. So I don't know. I'm going to trust in the guy that gets paid to do it at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, and I think the big thing for the Lions, their biggest weakness was their secondary. That was a very big reason why they ended up falling to the 49ers in the championship game. And
Thanks for
so
bringing it up.
having addressed that those positions heavily in free agency and through the draft is very big. For this is their window, right? Realistic championship windows aren't open for very long unless you have the Tom Brady's or the Patrick Mahomes of the world, where it's like, yeah, okay, we have the elite quarterback that's just going to elevate everyone around him. In the Lions situation, they realistically, with this iteration of the roster, have next year, maybe the year after, as that window. And so maximizing that right now by upgrading that secondary is huge. They addressed defensive line in free agency. They got DJ Reader, brought in Marcus Davenport. That rounding out that defense into a really solid unit, one that is gonna be, a really tough defense now to score points on. Now that that secondary's been addressed, Carlton Davis has some injury issues, but he's been a reliable corner his entire career. You got Terrion Arnold, you got Ennis Reckistraw. Amik Robinson has been solid corner for his career. And like you had said, like none of them have that starting spot guaranteed except probably Carlton Davis. He's probably the only one that you can really kind of put in pen he's going to start at
Yeah,
corner.
DB1, yeah.
But even with those doubling down on corner, Carlton Davis probably not a long-term answer at corner either. So having Terrion Arnold and Ennis Reckistraw able to develop in your system, really, really good for the Lions. And then just the one thing I will say is Graham Glasgow and Kevin Zeitler as your guards, both getting up there in age,
Yeah.
would have been nice to see them address guard maybe a little bit earlier than they did.
Yeah, because they—I forgot. I completely forgot they drafted. I don't even know the dude from what, Boston College. Yeah, Mahogany, Christian Mahogany. Yeah.
It's fine, but at the same time, you have to think maybe they go get another guard at some point, because even Glasgow has, he's had some questions with potential injuries, and then even Taylor Decker's getting up there in age, and you're gonna have to pay him at some point if you want to keep
Yeah.
him around, which honestly is probably not that realistic with, having just paid Penei Sewell and just having paid him on Ross St. Brown. Retaining Taylor Decker is going to be really difficult for them.
I think it's pretty, I think everyone's pretty much leaning towards we won't have Decker. I think at the end of the year is when his contract's up. So,
So
but you're right. The line is aging for sure.
I don't know if Manu is going to be ready to step in as a starter next year, right? I mean, obviously he's a physical freak, but he's also a guy who, he's got some developing to do, right? Obviously, like I had no idea who this guy was before they drafted him, but just it seems like the consensus around him is he's got some he needs to get some more tread on those tires to just kind of figure out how to really truly play the position well. So it'll be
Right.
interesting what they end up doing at tackle, off tackle. Well, they might just switch Penei to left tackle and draft a right tackle, but that's the
True.
one. Offensive line, I know they needed to address. I don't know if I necessarily loved the way they addressed it, but other than that, I think that the Lions drafted really well.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, I was going to add on the defensive perspective too, is I think Aaron Glenn is a great defensive coordinator. I just think like the talent wise, like the defense just hasn't been there. So like getting him guys that can go out and make plays and can run his like scheme at a good success rate is going to be, it's just going to be a lot, so much more smoother than it was last year. Cause like, I feel like towards the end of the year, it did get a little bit better. There was still obvious gaps and holes, and like, especially against the like Niners too, you could see that. And I mean, yeah, Stafford and Baker kind of torched us too. But I just like, I think the defensive scheme is there. It just like, he needs more, I don't know, more better players essentially. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm happy. Like I said, I trust Brad Holmes. I haven't trusted him before and he's proven me wrong. So until he does the opposite, I'm riding with him. So, and Brad Holmes, we trust, as they say. Couple other things, I guess. Let's just like widen up the talk. I feel like a couple teams out of the NFC East had good drafts. Commanders, I thought, had a really good draft. I thought they addressed a lot of just everything, and I think their picks were very productive for what they did end up doing. Obviously, quarterback with Jaden Daniels kind of fits their offensive scheme, what they're looking for. They got Newton out of Illinois in round two, which is a good pickup, I feel like, especially since he fell to round two because he was talked about being a round one pick. Also, Luke McCaffrey in the third round is kind of cool.
And Sainstrow, getting Sainstrow was pretty big.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. They did a lot. They had a lot of picks, and they did a lot with those picks, I feel like. Also, another team I thought had a good draft was the Eagles, specifically for like round one and round two, just because they ended up getting who'd they draft? Round one.
They got
Cool.
Quinyon Mitchell, didn't they?
Quinyon Mitchell, that's who it was. Quinyon Mitchell and then Cooper DeJean too, which is kind of crazy that they ended up drafting both those players in separate rounds too, which I thought was kind of insane. I don't know. That was my takes. I'm scared of the Bears after the Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze on offense with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and
They
DeAndre Swift. Like,
did a weird thing drafting that punter though.
yeah.
Like, obviously at that, it's almost like they're just like, okay, our team's set now, we'll just take the punter. But it's not really true. They still could use, another edge to put opposite Montez Sweat. They could still go for developmental offensive linemen. It's not like their offensive line is that great.
Yeah, weird pick.
It was just an interesting, like,
On top of it, Caleb Williams texts him too and is like, "You're not going to be doing that much punting this year." So
yeah.
it's like, all right, my round one, my number one overall pick is telling my, when did they draft him? I don't even know.
Fourth round, I think.
The
Yeah.
fourth round, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah, my number one overall pick is telling my fourth round punter that he's not going to be doing his job that much. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, it doesn't really add up, I feel like.
Yeah. I thought that the Penix pick was really interesting.
Yeah.
I understand the logic of taking a quarterback round one, even though you signed Kirk Cousins. Because in theory, you don't really know how many years of Kirk Cousins you're actually going to get. He's coming off of a knee injury,
Right.
he's in his late 30s. But you also have to, in theory, think we have him for at least 2 years. So that's when you say, okay, we'll take JJ McCarthy, where we can just sit him behind the quarterback for, a couple of years, let him marinate. You take the 24-year-old.
Yeah. The one of the oldest draft one of the
Yeah.
oldest drafted quarterbacks of all time.
So I don't really get the logic behind that. And that's not to say I don't like Penix, because I do like Penix. It seems to me like the logic of the pick was in theory okay, but it
Right.
was the wrong pick to make, especially since they need to fill holes on that defense. Like their offense, I know I keep saying in theory, but in theory, their offense is good. They've got Drake London, Kyle
Right.
Pitts, Bijan Robinson. They've
The
got these
offensive threats
pieces.
are there. Yes.
They've got these pieces for Kirk Cousins to give the ball to. They've got to get the pieces in on defense to give them a fighting chance to compete. Because really, that's the situation they're in, right? They brought in the defensive head coach. They brought in, Kurt, the veteran quarterback. They've got an owner that's getting up there in age. He wants to win before he, I don't know, sells the team or gives the team over to his children or sells the team or whatever it ends up being that he does. I know that there's been he wants to win kind of the Tigers' old owner really wanted to win before his time was up. So it just doesn't really seem to line up with that line of thinking. And I don't know if you saw that video of the Falcons GM explaining to Arthur
Yes, I did. Yes. He's like
why they made the pick.
breaking it down to him. He's like,
It's like,
I don't
yeah,
know.
this is a man who's now fighting for his job at this point.
I had saw Peter Schrager said something like they expect to be in the late 2020s picks, like the next obviously couple years to come with Cousins there. And they don't want to end up in like a, what's the word I'm thinking of? Purgatory of like quarterbacks where they can't find them, and then they like Cousins is gone and they can't draft them, and then they end up being like an average team, like 9 wins, 10 wins, 8 wins, like that, and then like they end up not being able to draft someone.
Oh, they don't
But I
want to
also
lose
agree,
seasons.
like they took the oldest quarterback, and I saw such a funny tweet. It was like in a couple years from now, Penix is just gonna be Brandon Weeden or something like
Yeah,
that.
pretty much, yeah.
Which is like, I mean, I like. Technically is true. Like his gameplay might not be, but he's gonna be 26, 27, 28 when he does get this chance to start. I also am curious to think of like what Penix thinks. Like obviously he's probably happy he got drafted 8th because that's good money. But like, dude,
He
he's
has to
gonna be
wait
sitting
now.
behind Cousins for minimum 2 years, I would say. Unless Cousins' leg is blown out. Like, I don't
Or he turns into a potato. Yeah.
know. Yeah. I don't know. I guess if they were super high on him and they wanted him and he was there, so they did it, but I don't know, man. Like that's just I don't know. The Atlanta Falcons, man. What can you say?
Yeah, they. It just seems like they just shot themselves in the foot because just you need defense. Like, I know that you can't just focus on the now, but everything that they had been saying, all the vibes they were giving off, all the decisions they were making were we want to go for it this year, next year, all in, put all the chips in. We've seen teams be successful by putting all, like the Rams won a Super Bowl because they put all the chips in when they had the chance. Obviously the Rams are now in an interesting situation where they have to really seriously consider a big rebuild because just they're not, their roster is devoid of high-end talent at this point. But at the same time, it's worth it for them because they got the Super Bowl out of it, right? Like,
That's true.
one Super Bowl is better than 5 years of being a playoff team that doesn't actually win anything.
Oh, 100%. That's worth like 10 years of that, I would say.
Yeah, so it just seems like that was it, the Falcons made the decision to try and have it both ways, and I think it's going to end up screwing them over in the end. Yeah, that was the interesting pick to me is. Because it's not like I necessarily hated Penix in
Right,
the
no.
top 10. It's that I hated it to the Falcons specifically.
One thing I thought was cool is that you kind of hit the you said Bo Nix would be the perfect quarterback for Sean Payton, didn't you?
I think I said J.J. McCarthy would be.
I thought it was Bo. I don't remember. And well, I don't know. I guess we were not wrong for going all like we drafted all the top six quarterbacks in
We,
the
I think
first
we
round.
got, I think we did first 12, first 11, 12 picks we did.
Yeah, because well, I had Bo Nix going deeper, but yeah, everyone because JJ went at what like 9, I think, and then
Yeah.
11, I had the Vikings take Penix. So yeah, it kind of crazy that we like were somewhat right in that aspect. Also a little interesting. Couple like day one, obviously, lots of fun, lots of the big people, the big names. Couple day three names though. Maybe potential quarterbacks of the future for the Jets and the Saints. I don't know. Spencer Rattler and Jordan Travis, thoughts?
They're no Sam Hartman, that's for sure. They're not going to win any beauty contests. But I don't necessarily hate the idea of Jordan Travis, not as a starter, but if you just want a guy who can come in and like dink and dunk his way around. You know, like he doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, but you know, he can come in, he can make the right read. Like I don't hate it as a backup for the Jets eventually, because Tyrod Taylor's also made of paper. As much as it breaks my heart to say, the man cannot stay healthy.
I mean, even against his own best wishes, he has people puncturing his lungs and like
Like
that.
he might have the worst luck of any recent quarterback.
Honestly.
So I don't necessarily hate Jordan Travis. Spencer Rattler, I mean, I guess he was the best quarterback left on the board when the Saints took him, but at the same time, is that really saying much? Like, your competition was Jordan Travis, Joe Milton, and Sam Hartman, who is handsome.
Yeah, definitely is handsome.
That's pretty much all you can really say about Sam Hartman.
No, yeah, I don't know. I just obviously being satirical, like obviously they most likely won't pan out, but I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. Jordan Travis coming off a big injury is going to be w backing up. I mean, obviously
String Rodgers.
Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor, but they're both coming off big injuries from the previous year. And then obviously anyone being around Aaron Rodgers is like, I feel like he has a mentoring aspect to him. It didn't work with Zach Wilson, but maybe it'll work with Jordan Travis, I guess. And then Spencer Rattler, I don't know, it's just like was a big talked about name for a while. And then
Yeah.
like face of the earth. I also thought it was funny. I was a big fan of QB1 Under the Lights. I don't know if, did you watch the first season of that when he was on it?
I watched part of it. I did not finish it.
Some
But
notable names off of QB1 Under the Lights, Spencer Rattler, Tate Martell, Jake Fromm, Sam Hartman as well, actually.
all NFL backs.
I think Sam Hartman, a couple other guys, but yeah, no, he was, excuse my language, an asshole on that
Yeah.
show.
I think I've
And
seen the clips of him being like really cocky. Yeah.
it's kind of funny because yes, he did have like a horrible mentality and he was like not the best teammate in high school, but also he's in high school and he's like years removed from that. So I thought it was funny, like GMs were like saying like, yeah, we didn't want to draft him because he was a jerk in high school and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, I just
Thank you.
but his
If I was
fall
the exact same person I was in high school, I'd be very scared.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny to see like those quarterbacks, like none of them really successful. Oh, Justin Fields actually was on, also on QB1 Under the Lights, another name on there. But yeah, like Tate Martell was like the next big thing going to Ohio State, and then he just became the most irrelevant college football player of all time. Jake Fromm obviously had some good years at Georgia, but has not done anything in the NFL.
And the Patriots got Joe Milton later as
Yeah,
well.
he can throw an orange 106 yards.
You know, I think he ends up switching positions, to be honest. Like
Really?
I find it hard to I just kind of,
Dude, he's got the arm strength.
but they're gonna want he having an athlete like that, you're gonna want him on the field. Like if you're gonna invest draft capital in someone who's that athletic, you're going to want to use him as a tight end. You know, maybe he's there, you know, maybe because you have him, you don't have to carry three quarterbacks on the roster and he can be your emergency quarterback if your starter and
He can
backup.
throw Hail Marys, though.
You can have him throw the Hail Mary. But to me, that pick kind of just screams, we're drafting an athlete and we're going to put him at a different position. I could be very wrong about that. But the fact that they also drafted Drake May, Bailey Zappi's not the greatest quarterback, but you know, he's still on the roster. Jacoby Brissett has proven to be one of the best backups in the NFL. I just, to me, it just kind of screams, we're gonna do what the Broncos should have done with Tebow. We're gonna put you at tight end. So that's how I feel about that pick.
I could see it. I don't know. As from my perspective, I think I've hit all the main talking points that I wanted to talk about the draft. I don't know if you have anything else, Thomas.
Well, Tyler, I have a little game for you.
Okay.
It's been a long time since we've done a game, Tyler.
Okay, you're
It
right.
was a mainstay of the Spartan Sports podcast. It was always a good time. You would get upset if I didn't have one for us.
Let's play the game, man. I know it's I Completely forgot that that was like an actual thing we used to do all the time. But yeah.
So, six quarterbacks went in the first round of the draft this year.
Yeah.
Your challenge, how far back in history do you think you could go naming all of the first round quarterbacks?
Dude, no.
How far back? And here's the thing. I will give you hints. I'm not going to give you the name. I'm not going to give you the team they went to, but I will give you the college the quarterback went to if you need it.
Okay.
But I will tell you the number of, I'll go, we'll go year by year. I'll tell you how many quarterbacks were taken in the first round that year. And if you need the draft number
Yeah,
or
let's do it. I could probably go 3 or 4 years back, maybe, if I'm on my AAA plus game.
we'll keep going back until you fail. All
Okay.
right. All right. So we're not going to do this year because that's going to be too easy.
Right.
So we're going to start with 2023 draft. There
Okay.
were three first round quarterbacks in the 2023 draft.
Yes. So the number one pick, obviously Bryce Young out of Alabama, the Panthers. Two is CJ Stroud out of Ohio State to the Texans, and then Anthony Richardson went at five to the Colts out of Florida.
Yes. Very, very good. See, you're already
Yes.
doing better than you thought you were.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I was blanking so hard on Bryce Young, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, wait, who's number one? Anyways, continue.
He was hiding behind Anthony Richardson. There was one quarterback taken in the 2022 draft in the first
Yes,
round.
Kenny Pickett to the Steelers. I don't remember what draft pick they had, but he's out of Pitt.
He was 20. I don't need, you don't have to share the draft pick. I was just going to use that as a hint if you need the hint.
Oh, okay.
Or I like my hints for you will be pick number in college that they went to.
Okay.
In 2021, there were five quarterbacks, I think. Let me double check my math here to make sure my math is math. And yes, there were five first round quarterbacks in 2021.
Okay. Number one. The first quarterback went off the board at the number one overall pick, correct?
Yes.
Is this the Trevor Lawrence year?
This is the Trevor Lawrence year.
Okay, so Trevor Lawrence at one. Zach Wilson at two.
Yes.
Then Mac Jones went to the Pats at 10, I want to say.
You're close. He went to the Pats at 15, I believe.
15. Okay. Who else was there that also got
There's two
drafted?
more first
Oh, I
round.
had it, and then I'm blanking so hard right now. Hold on. Oh, Herbert. Right? Or no? Herbert?
Not Herbert. Herbert's not this year.
No? Oh, I
No.
thought they were the same year.
Want the two colleges?
Yes.
Okay. North Dakota State and Ohio
Oh, Trey
State.
Lance. And where?
Ohio State.
Oh, okay, yeah, Justin Fields and Trey Lance that year. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Do you want to keep going? I know you technically got it wrong, but do you want to keep trying?
Yeah, I want to keep trying.
All right.
I'll give
We're gonna
one mulligan, one mulligan.
one mulligan. Okay. So in 2020, there were three, four first round quarterbacks.
Okay, so is this the Herbert year?
Yes.
Okay. Justin Herbert went. The Chargers, what pick? Five? Six? Right around there, right? It was like five or six or
He
something
was
like that.
like, I think he was top five.
Yeah. Okay. All right, give me a college for one of them.
LSU.
Oh, Burrow. Yep. Okay, Burrow to the Bengals. Who else got drafted with Burrow? Burrow, Herbert, line.
You want another one? Alabama.
Tua?
Tua, yeah. And then
Okay.
last college is Utah State.
Okay, that's Jordan Love.
Okay. Very,
And then
very good.
Hurts went in the second round, right? Of that draft?
Virtual second round, yep.
Okay. All right. We'll do one more year. We'll do this is the last year right here because I am gonna need probably the college forever. Okay, what year is it? What's the year?
This is the year 2019. There were three first round
Who had
quarterbacks.
the number one overall pick of 2019?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Is it obvious? I feel like I'm gonna guess.
It's quite obvious.
Okay. So it's Kyler Murray then.
Is Kyler Murray.
Okay. How many quarterbacks are taken in the top five?
One.
Just Kyler? Okay, this is where my knowledge is gonna not be so well. All right. What are the colleges for the other two?
Duke
Okay.
and Ohio State.
So Daniel Jones, obviously. And then Ohio State, you said? Why am I blanking so hard on this guy? I don't know.
Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins won the first. I didn't know that. I guess that makes sense, actually.
All right. Well, it's on the last one is the one that you have post mulligan you messed up on. So
Yeah.
good
I'll
job.
take it. I didn't do that bad, I guess. I feel like I didn't, the last couple of years, I didn't have to use that many hints. But like 2019, 2020, it was, I don't know. I'll take it.
Yeah. Good job. Proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, man. Well, hey, I think that's going to conclude it for the night then, huh? Huh?
Yeah, I mean,
Nice
unless you
little.
have some magical last second idea.
What does that mean? Do you want to play a game?
No, it's okay. You
Are
can
you
prepare
sure?
next time, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make a game. I'll make a game for next one for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right. All right. Cool. All right. Well, then, hey, that's going to do it. Nice little post-draft recap with me and Thomas. Our experiences, our team's experiences, and then a little bit of thoughts around the league on some other teams. But thanks for joining us. It's been the Knowing Ball Podcast, episode 3. Please like, comment, and subscribe. We really appreciate the love.
Yes.
Peace.
Adios.